you have your Bible, let me invite you to turn with me this morning, Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 8, but don't close your Bible. We'll be using it a little bit later on this morning as well. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. Some of you may have wondered who that little boy in that red shirt was. I don't know, I think it's Sue's grandchild or something. I'm not sure. I guess I'll have to own up to that one, huh? But his grandmother's sick. Yes, that's his problem. Yeah, she's got pneumonia, it looks like. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. And John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Heavenly Father, I do ask you to continue to be with my wife today. Pray, Father God, that her strength will come back to her. And I just pray, Father, you'll continue to touch her body. Lord, we know of many this morning that are struggling. I think of Relish, and I thank you that she's making some progress. But I pray, Father God, you'll just continue to strengthen her physically as well. Be with her both physically and spiritually. Be with Otis as he ministers there. Father, there are those that we have on our hearts that are suffering physically. But Lord, there are those on our hearts that are struggling spiritually. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit will work its marvelous and wonderful work in their hearts as well. Draw them unto yourself. Touch them. Speak to them. Father, we just ask that your will be done in every life, even in this service, that Jesus might be glorified. Father, we celebrate this day because he's the risen Lord of life. Be with us now as we undertake to look at your word briefly. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, Sony Pictures has just released a new movie, hasn't it? Heaven is for Real. Maybe you've seen it. I don't know if anybody's seen it or not. It's being billed as an inspirational movie for the whole family. It's based upon a New York best-selling book by the same title, Heaven is for Real. According to the book, a little 4-year-old child named Colton was rushed to the emergency room to have surgery on a burst appendix. And he was, while he was there and while he was on surgery, he was transported to heaven where he met his older sister who had died in a miscarriage some years before and his great-grandfather. And after the recovery, sometime later, he began to tell his father about these things, who was a Methodist minister. Well, I haven't seen the movie. I don't know whether it's good or bad. I don't know whether it's biblical or just folk religious. There's a lot of folks out there that believe a lot of things about things that have some spiritual basis to them, but they have no biblical basis. So I don't know that. But I do know this. Heaven is for real. Not because they made a movie out of it or for it or something like that, but because the Bible says so. Heaven is the dwelling place of Almighty God. Did you know that? Over in Deuteronomy chapter 26, in verse 15, it says, God looks down from his holy habitation from heaven. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, you might have heard this before, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's God's dwelling place. Heaven is the dwelling place of God's angels, according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. Heaven is the dwelling place of the saints of God, and the names of the saints of God are written down in a book in heaven, according to Hebrews chapter 12. In heaven, we will worship God alongside the angels of God and the redeemed of every nation. That's going to be fun, won't it? Revelation chapter 4, 5, and 7 speaks of that. In heaven, the saints of God will rest from their earthly labors. Revelation 14. Some folks won't have anything to do because they didn't do anything here, you know, but they'll still be there. The sinner of the future heaven, according to John 21 here, will be the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Heaven descends and makes, it's a cube, the New Jerusalem. It's vast, very vast. Sometimes heaven is described as a city over in Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes heaven is talked about that in heaven, because you see, wherever the presence of God is, there is fullness of joy. So it's going to be a marvelous and wonderful place. I just read that to you in chapter 21. That there's not going to be any more tears there, no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall be any pain, because the former things are passed away. Isn't that marvelous? I'm glad of that. I get up every morning and generally I feel pretty good. I remember years ago I said something to Brother Jack. I met him over here at church kind of early in the morning. I said, boy, I'm really stiff this morning. My back hurts me and stuff. And Jack said, only this morning? Well, listen, one of these days, no more stuff like that. None whatsoever. Heaven is a magnificent place, according to the scriptures. It's got streets of gold. Did you know that? Matter of fact, now you have to go back and read this, because I've never seen any gold like this. Have you? So pure you can see through it. Whew, that's something, isn't it? We use blacktop, don't we? We use concrete. God uses gold. The buildings and the materials that God uses in heaven to make buildings and things like that, pearls, emeralds, precious stones. That gives me the indication that there are going to be some places that God's going to use those old diamond things just to make a building out of. Isn't that amazing? Oh. And I have been thinking, if I neglect this part, somebody's going to talk to me about it. There are going to be animals in heaven. Oh, yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Have you, these dog food commercials and all that kind of stuff. Some of these dogs eat better than people, don't they? It's a balanced diet. It's got this, it's got that. And, of course, then there's that AASPC advertisement where they show that poor little kitten, you know, and the little dog. And they sing that, you know, and makes you want to rush right out and adopt a dog, you know. It's amazing, isn't it? We're so hung up on that. Nobody rushes out and adopting children, but they're a cat and a dog, man. That's cool. But anyway, heaven's got some of that stuff. At least horses, lambs, I understand. There's going to be some lions there. Wow, you know. And also, for some of us, to be assured of, that there will be eating and drinking in heaven. Yeah, because we're going to sit down at supper with Jesus. What a feast that will be. That'll be better than Golden Corral. Wow. Yeah. Listen, heaven is for real. And Jesus is right there right now, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, ever making intercession for you. Wow. Heaven is for real. But listen, the old Negro scripture used to say, everybody who's talking about heaven ain't going. And so we need to ask ourselves, well, if heaven is for real, then how do I get there? The other day, I took my wife to the doctor because she's not been feeling well. She went to the emergency, ReadyMed thing, and they said she had bronchitis, asthmatic bronchitis. She's got asthma. And so she had asthmatic bronchitis. And so they gave her some junk and she didn't feel much better. And we just simply mentioned it to Swan Lee the other day. And Swan Lee's son is a doctor. And she said, you need to go to the doctor. So my wife didn't want to impose and all that kind of stuff. She said, that's okay. He's my son. I'm going to call him. He'll see you. You need to see a doctor. He's a specialist. So my wife was, oh boy, you know. But about 3 hours, she calls back and says, someone will call you in the morning from the doctor's office, from my son's office, and he's going to get in there and see you just as soon as he possibly can. So the nurse calls up and says that she has an appointment on Friday morning. And so we go over there to the doctor's office, and my wife is in the doctor's office. Now, I just went in and, you know, came back out and sat down. You know how you do, right? And I'm waiting. And so who calls? Swan Lee. She says, I've been talking to my son, and he's not going to be able to see you till Monday. I said, well, that's weird, because the nurse called me this morning, and we're at the doctor's office. She says, you're at the doctor's office? I said, yeah. She says, where at? I said, well, one over at Leo Crossing. Oh, okay. Yeah. She said, my son's not there today. She says, she needs to see my son. He's the specialist. I said, well, I don't know. She's in there somewhere, you know. She's in somebody, you know. I don't know. She says, well, I'm going to call him up right now. She said, I'm going to raise Cain with him. I said, don't do that. I said, don't do that. I said, she's in the doctor's office. She said, well, I told him he was supposed to see her. Well, in a couple hours, my wife comes back out. I said, guess who just called? Swan Lee just called. And she's going to call her son. I said, who'd you see? She said, I saw somebody, physician's assistant, somebody, so-and-so. She's this really marvelous lady. And she had talked to Dr. Schmitz, and he had it all laid out for me. She gave her a steroid shot, gave her some kind of antibiotic shot, gave her some kind of antibiotic medicine, gave her some kind of cough drops or cough syrup. Just, you know. I said, well, you better call Swan Lee because she's on to her son right now, you know. But you know what? My wife told me, because I had the little kid with the red shirt with me this morning, and she said, just go down the block. If he gets rowdy, and you know, go down the block a little bit and go through this Goodwill or something. And you maybe could. I said, do you know where you're at? She said, yeah, I'm out here on DuPont Road, kind of. Yeah. Well, that's 10 miles that way, you know. I think sometimes, you know, we all want to get to heaven, but we don't know how to get there. And we don't know where we're at in the journey. We're just stumbling around. Fortunately, there's people like Swan Lee that set you up with a doctor, isn't there? Fortunately, there are people who witness for Christ and set you up with Jesus. But listen, how do we get to heaven? A lot of people have lots of ideas about that, don't they? All kinds of folks have all kinds of ideas about that. One of them, of course, is that you get to go to heaven if you keep the laws of God. And, of course, they'll probably say something about the Ten Commandments. Then, of course, if you ask them, can you name one? Let's see. Keep the laws. That's what you're supposed to do. But the amazing thing is that Paul says over Galatians that you don't get to heaven by keeping the law. Because you can't keep it. You don't do it. You break the law. And because you break the law, then you're subject to the penalty of the law. So if you look towards the law to get you to heaven, the law is going to condemn you because you don't keep it 100%. You miss the boat. So there's lots of folks who are trying to do something in a spiritual way to get to heaven by keeping God's laws or somebody's laws, grandma's laws, somebody's. Then, of course, there's a lot of folks that think that they're going to get to heaven because they're just good folks. And you know, humanly speaking, in a pejorative sense, they probably are good folks. You know, they're not mass murderers. You know, they're you know, just in general, they do all right. They hardly ever steal anything. Oh, occasionally, but hardly ever. You know, they haven't robbed any banks. You know, they pick up a few pencils at work. You know, I'm low on toilet paper, so yeah, a couple of toilet papers. Just small items, you know, tablets. Well, you know, these legal pads, they'd make a good thing for the kids to grow on, you know. Bring those home. So, you know, we think of these things, and we think, now, my good works are going to outweigh my bad works, most assuredly. And I think, basically, that is the most common understanding by almost everybody, that somehow or another, they're going to get to heaven because... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good stuff outweighed the bad. But that's not what the Bible says, of course. The Bible says what? For by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of what? Works, lest anyone should boast. So that won't work. Matter of fact, now you say, well, what about all this stuff the Bible talks about, exhortation? In matter of fact, down there in verse 10, it does say that we are saved for good works. After we receive Christ, after we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, after the Holy Spirit's come inside of, after we've repented, then God wants us to serve Him and have fruits, do good works. But they don't save us. Can't do it. Can't do it. Because you see, man is a sinner. We all sin. Isaiah said, like what? All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And that's it, isn't it? We all fail. And we don't fail just sometimes, but we fail most of the time. And of course, Paul then quotes and points to that. He says, there is none righteous, no, not one. All our works are like filthy rags before the Lord. So we've sinned. So we need something to happen because we can't do it ourselves. And of course, the reward for sin is what? Death. Ouch. The wages of sin is death. We work for money, don't we? We want to get paid for something. Well, you working, you're going to get paid. Except this payment you don't want is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that amazing? We're working, working, working. We've got a debt. You know, the U.S. government has no problem with debt compared to what we've got in the sense of righteousness. But God commended his love towards us. What? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait for us to get better. He took the initiative. He stepped out of time in the person of Christ to pay that sin debt. And then, of course, over in Romans chapter 10, it says, whosoever then shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do we do that? Repenting. Repentance is agreement with God. Did you know that? We talk about 180 degrees going back this way and all that kind of thing. But listen, until we get to the place where we say to God, yes, I've sinned, then you can't repent. Because you don't think there's anything to repent of. So we repent, we agree with God, and we place our faith and trust in Christ. We can't do it ourselves. So we're trusting God that what Jesus did on the cross and by the resurrection, we have forgiveness of sins. Listen, I don't know how to say this exactly right, so forgive me. I'm going to ask you forgiveness right off the bat. I'm confident I'm going to heaven. What arrogance that guy has. Now listen, I'm confident that I'm going to heaven, not because of what I do, not even because of who I am, not because I'm just a wonderful preacher guy, no. None of those things, but I'm confident because of what Jesus did. And I have, by faith, appropriated that to myself. And God has revealed himself to me in a very personal way. When I got on my knees and I asked God to come into my... I got on my knees beside my bed in Korea and I prayed, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I need you to come into my life, forgive my sins. Be Lord of my life. Seal me with the Holy Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. When I got up from that, guess what? No thunder, no lightning. The roof didn't fall in. Although, you know, I read about a guy one time in Florida that went to church for the very first time in a long, long time, and the roof did fall in. Wouldn't that be something? That'd be a sign, wouldn't it? Yeah. But none of that happened. But something did happen. I never cared about this book, but I started reading this book. Amazing. I didn't know so many people didn't like Jesus. You know that? These people called Pharisees and those folks, give them a lot of trouble. I didn't know that. And I just kept reading. And God kept doing a work in my life. And matter of fact, now this is probably not good, but I didn't know any better and it didn't hurt a thing. I probably played God two, three, five, I don't know how many times every day. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come in my life. Be Lord of my life. He had already done that, but I didn't know any better. But there's nothing wrong with asking for forgiveness. And finally, I got over to 1 John. Hey, I'm running out of book. Yeah. And my assurance verse came in 1 John. It says, you know that you've passed from death into life if you love the brethren. The guys that had witnessed to me about Christ, I thought were insane. Religious nutwinks. Fanatics. Ask them about Jesus, and they would say, read the Bible for yourself. All kinds of stuff like that. And in a few short weeks, I guess what happened was I became one of them. I was as crazy as they were. I was loving the word as much as they were. I was wanting to go to church. Can you imagine that? Well, is it a Bible study any place? I want to go. Amazing, isn't it, what God can do? Listen, I'm confident because of what Jesus did. Do you understand that? I don't want to be haunty or anything like that. You should be confident. If you placed your faith and trust in Christ, you should be confident. Not because of what you did or who you are, but what he did and who he is. And so I'm confident that one day, I don't know if Colton saw his sister, his grandfather, or great-grandfather, I don't know any of those kind of things, but I'm confident that one day I'm going to see my dad again. I'm going to see my mom again. I'm going to see my wife's mom and dad. I'm going to see her sister. I'm going to see her brother. I'm going to see all kinds of folks. You know, I know more folks over there than I know over here. Yeah. Jack's probably going to meet me right off the bat. He's going to say, hey, no pain up here, man. Yeah. I'm confident of that. We should be confident of that. Heaven is for real. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But hell is for real too. I read a survey just the other day, and I suspect this because of the movie. It said 87% of Americans who were polled believe there was a heaven. Whew. Great. But only 16% believed there was a hell. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you believe God on this level, but you don't believe him on that level. I don't understand that. Maybe turn with me to Matthew chapter 10 this morning. I told you to leave your Bible open. You were hoping I'd forget about it. I was over at Wayndale. Was it Wednesday night? Wednesday night. Brother Boyd preaching. You know, he's a Fairview Midland preacher. And he was rolling along and he said, "What verse am I in?" Hey, I knew. I told him. Verse 24. You know, Joey Kaplan turned around and swatted me. I need help. Like last Sunday. Remember last Sunday? Here's the praise team. They're singing away and they stop for a second. I'm thinking to myself, oh, that's time for shaking hands, isn't it? So I came down here and started to come over here, and Dennis goes, so I'm thinking, what I do now? I'm up here. I don't know if you said it, Dennis, or I said it or something. Anyway, sing with me or something like that. So I said, "Hang." And then this gave me an out. He said, shook my hand, go sit out. You know, okay, good. We need help every now and then. What's wrong with verse 24? You know? Yeah. And of course, you could have got out earlier last Sunday than you did, because I forgot all about the Lord's Supper. I had my hand resting probably on top of the bread or something. I don't know what, but anyway. We need help, don't we? Sure we do. Listen, it's okay. Now listen, Jesus said this. I didn't say this. Jesus said this. You know who Jesus is? Chapter 10, starting in verse 28. He said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body where? Hell." I like heaven, but I don't care nothing about that hell thing. Look over in Matthew 13, starting in verse 41. It says, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and they which do iniquity, and they shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." I've got a bad imagination. I don't think that's good. I touched a hot stove one time. "Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and sells all that he hath and buyeth that field." So there's a treasure here. He sells everything he has to obtain it. You think Jesus is talking about dirt? You think he's talking about coins in a box? He's talking about heaven. This is so wonderful and so marvelous and great. Don't miss it. If you have to, give everything you have to possess it. It's worth it. Then he goes on to say, Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant, man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is cast into the sea and gathers of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and cast and sat down and gathered the good in the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 21, Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? It's so important for us to understand that. Heaven's for real, but there is hell. By faith, we can appropriate the good things of God because of what Christ has done for us. He's paid the price. Heaven's real for all those who by faith step by the wooing of the Holy Spirit, God saves. But there is hell. And what a travesty it would be if Jesus came and died on the cross and suffered such great agony to save and to pay the penalty of sin if we didn't receive it. We don't like that part. We don't like that part. Somehow or another, I think just basically in our mind's eyes, we have the idea that somehow or another, since God is gracious and God is good and he is all those things, that he's just going to somehow or another open heaven for everybody. Doesn't make any difference that Jesus said, broad is the way, and many that travel there on that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path, and few that go in there. Doesn't make any difference what the balance says. But you know, and also, let me just really quickly, it just popped into my mind. Go to your concordance, go to something that you can run those kind of references, and you'll find out that Jesus talked about hell more than he did heaven. Why did he do that? Because he knows how terrible that is. And he doesn't want anybody going there. That's why he came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. That's why he came. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Matter of fact, the scripture says what? That God is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire. But God has given us this awesome, awesome thing that we can say no to him. It's like my grandson down here. Greg, come over. No. Greg's trying to bribe him. I'll go with you. They're having fun down there. No. Sue comes over. Come on, Grayson. They're having fun downstairs. I'll take you down there. No. No. We can say no to God. Whew. Matter of fact, not only can we do it, we do it. We say it almost all the time. God says, and we say no. Almost just like Grayson. We give the angry eyebrows. To God, who's extended us every grace. To God, who's paid the price. To God, who wants to forgive. We say no. So you know what? Let me just try to put this in a way that I can say it. Somebody else can probably say it much more eloquent than this, but If you end up in hell, it's because you want to be there. Who would do that? The people who say no, no, no. And you know, I believe that God works with everybody equally. His spirit works with people, even unto the crushing, the psalmist tells us. I think even to death. My dad's on his deathbed. God saved him. He didn't do anything. But that doesn't matter, because it's God who gets the glory. The grace of God swooped him up and took him into himself. That proud old German, that guy who said no, 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 finally he said yes. Wow. The amazing grace of God. For by grace are you saved. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. Now, I'm going to end this by saying this. Because somebody's going to go to lunch today and say the preacher preached on hell. I didn't. You might have thought I did. But I didn't. I preached on heaven. It's real. And through Christ, the door is open to everyone who will say yes and repent, place their faith in him. Glory to God. Father God, sometimes it seems like it's so simple and so straightforward. You hold nothing back. You don't hold anything back. When we talk about Father Abraham, what a mighty man of faith he is, and his example of faith, and all those kind of things. Nevertheless, he said, no, Sarah's not my wife. She's my sister. Because Pharaoh, he lied. People of faith are not perfect. They're just forgiven. Jesus was perfect. He had no sin. Lord, this morning, as we are here this day, if we go into work tomorrow and somebody says, heaven is for real, I just saw that movie. Fantastic. The door has just been opened to talk to them about Christ. If we go into work tomorrow morning and somebody says, I went and saw that Noah movie. It was trash. It was silly. It was Russell Crowe, the gladiator. That's okay. Let me tell you about the biblical Noah. Let me talk to you about the Savior who is Jesus. Lord, even this morning, as we're here, in your grace and in your mercy, don't let us leave this place this morning with that issue in our hearts and minds unsettled. We can say yes, and we can say no. Father, you convict and you draw and you save. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.